Okay, so I recently found myself on a Shabbaton. We'll call it that. And it was for primarily for individuals with special needs. And at the end of davening, close to the end of davening, just the way that we had to that most of the individuals who were joining on the Shabbaton had to do it is that they had to leave the Shabbaton. Sorry, not the Shabbaton, but davening a bit early, like before Aleinu. So at the end of davening, many people already had shuffled out before Aleinu. Baruch Hashem, I still had a minion for Kaddish. But people were really headed out, and a lot of Siddurim were left open. And one of the senior supervisors of the program, he said to my brother who was there, who was also running some of the programming, he said, you know, the people who stayed back, he's like, tell them all to clean up all the Siddurim. You know, we shouldn't have to leave it to this. I'm like, tell them to do it. And my brother was very perturbed. He said, hold on. What we're going to do now is go to the people who stayed till the end of davening, we're going to punish them and make them stay even later. So that next time they're going to say, that's it. I'm out before Chazar Shashat. You know, that's in the attitude, right? It's a cynical line. No good deed goes unpunished. So there's a principle that if people are you know, trying to do the right thing, you don't want it to make it backfire and make them not want to do it again. You don't want to incentivize them to stop doing good. Yet, we see in this week's Parsha, seems that Hashem operates a little bit differently. We have a man named Noach. Noach, the Torah testifies about this man. He's an ish tzadik tamim bedorasav. He's a tzadik. He's a righteous man. He's a tamim. He's wholesome. Es Elokim es halich Noach. Noach walks with God. Last week's parsha, it ends. Noach matzachin b'nei Hashem. Noach found favor, grace in the eyes of Hashem, despite such ugliness in the world and such horrible, rampant sins of all types. And Noach was different. Noach was a tzaddik, b'dorosav. And Hashem tells him, you know what? I'm going to destroy the world in 120 years. It's just so bad. It's so corrupt. I don't know what to do otherwise. So I need you to build a teva, build an ark. And Noach follows God's command. Doesn't miss one iota of what God commanded. He builds an ark for 120 years. Hashem tells him, okay, go. I want you to go start collecting animals. Go collect minimum two of every animal. For kosher animals, you're going to get 14, seven pairs, and you're going to bring all the animals into the ark. And Noach does that. Amazing. Living his life on its own as a tzaddik in his generation is already incredible. But then to follow the command, 120 years, day in, day out, building an ark, people laughing at him. What are you doing? Who's this doomsday guy? Oh, God's going to destroy the world in 120 years. Every single day, he's working on this, working on the teva, and then he's going around collecting animals, and he brings them on. So you think, okay, you know what? What's going to happen? Of course, now it's going to be easy living. He's 5-star cruise. That's for sure what the teva is going to be like for him. For sure, 5-star cruise. They're going to have, you know, gourmet meals and a nice little nightclub and a beautiful deck to hang out and relax and just take it easy after all the hard work. And that's not exactly what he gets. As Chazal tells us, Rashi quotes it, day and night, Noach and his family were struggling taking care of the animals. The Midrash says they did not get any sleep. They could not get sleep because some animals ate 1, 2, 3, 4, many times a day. They all had different animals, different hours. Some were daytime critters, some were nocturnal. So nonstop, around the clock, Noach and his family are taking care of these animals. So much so that the Midrash says that Noach was coughing up blood. He was so exhausted and beaten down from this time taking care of the animals. He was coughing up blood, let alone the Midrash talks about how he was stricken by a lion at one point. And this is going on the whole time. For how long? For 40 days and 40 nights? No. That was just how long it was raining for. For an entire year on the Teva. What torture. Like, you know, this is the good deed that gets punished so heavily. What Noach did? So that's question number one. And just another question. It's a question of some strange proportion. We know that the Torah tells us that the Teva was made with three levels. And the Torah is very deliberate about it, that there's tachtim, shneim, and shlishim. There's a bottom floor, there's a second floor, there's a third floor, and it's very clear that like each one has its own role. And there are different interpretations in Chazal what each one refers to. But Rashi says that each one had a specific role, that what was on the top one? Does anybody know what was on the top floor of Noach's Seva?
People,
Noach and his family were there. And on the next floor, there were all the animals. And on the bottom floor, the garbage, the refuse, right? Everything that builds up from a year on the Teva. So if you think about it, it's actually quite disproportionate what's going on here. Every single floor is the same size. It's still the 50 by 300 amma stretch of the boat level, and one of them, one floor, the middle floor, has two, at least two, possibly 14 of every single species on the planet, and on the top floor is Noah and his family. Noah, his three sons, the four of them have wives, eight human beings. In the same space on the top floor that holds all the animals on the middle floor. That seems very strange right there. Why'd he have to construct a teva and the top floor be so big? Right, you have so much space now. So I think that the answer to these questions is really the same answer. And it goes back to a different comment in Rashi quotes from Chazal, that why did Hashem have to make a mabul and make him build a teva for 120 years? Why do you have to go through that effort 120 years? That's a pretty long time to do anything, let alone build one giant box. And Rashi says that it was intentional. Hashem wanted it to make a scene. Hashem wanted people to see, there's Noah again hammering away, and people get into conversation. What are you doing, Noah? And it's, oh, well, you know, God's going to destroy the world. And hopefully through all these conversations over 120 years, people seeing that, people will do teshuva, they'll repent, they'll change their ways, and Hashem doesn't have to destroy the world. That's what Hashem was hoping for, and unfortunately that didn't really play out that way. And I think that this is really the answer to the questions. Why was the top floor so empty? Astonishingly empty. Just eight people on this massive floor. Because it wasn't built for eight people. It was built for, I don't know, maybe millions of people. Hundreds of thousands of people. To be on that top floor. That's what it was supposed to be. Noah was supposed to recruit some people to get them to do tshuva. Even if he couldn't get the entire world to repent. So God doesn't have to destroy the world with a mabul. But at least Noah could get a whole bunch of people to do tshuva, to repent from their evil ways and be spared. And unfortunately, that wasn't the case. And I think this also answers the other question. Like, why did Hashem torture Noah by making him run an eight-person massive zoo? You have a zoo with only eight employees. Answer. Noah had 120 years to recruit new employees for his zoo. Right? Meaning what Noah was able to accomplish, Noah and his family, by day and night taking care of the animals, they were able to get the job done. If they had, you know, eight more employees, then they could have slept 12 hours a day. Right? If Noah would have been able to recruit 1 million people, 100,000 people, 1,000 people, 100 people, how much easier would the job have been? It wouldn't be torture anymore. He could be sitting on top just drinking a coffee and having his employees work under him, do all the dirty work with the animals. And everyone would have their own job. And you're the elephants. You're the rhinoceros, rhinoceri. You're the hippopotami. I don't know. I'm picking an easier animal to pluralize. Giraffes, right? You're taking care of these animals, and it would be so much better. But Noah did not do the recruiting he was supposed to do, and unfortunately, it was an astonishingly empty floor, and it was much more of a torturous workload that he had to do, and taking out of this, I mean, there are many lessons to take out of this, but one big one, obviously, is that Noah needed to step up more and take achrayas, take responsibility for his fellow men. And, you know, we're at a time where it's a very, very difficult time for us. Part of why it's so difficult for us, even if none of us are directly in Israel right now, is that we are all connected and we're all united to our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael. We feel this connection. We feel this achrayas. And we are really trying to put ourselves with our brothers and sisters in Israel. We're extending ourselves. And right now you feel this, this unity of our nation, and it's giving a lot of support to Israel, and appropriately so. It should be there. And a lot of the support is more physical, providing physical needs, food, supplies, equipment for war, things like that. And there is spiritual as well. But we can't neglect also the other pieces of just supporting people in our Dalamos, in our own space, to being able to provide and take a chrys for every single Jew. Right now, really, of course, the priority is Eretz Yisrael, but big picture, to be able to take this unity, and hopefully things turn around and we have good news soon, but we to take this unity with us and learn the lesson of Noach, to take responsibility, a chrys for a fellow Jew. If you're involved in something, especially if you're coming here and you're here and you're spending your time learning Torah, and you know somebody else who's not getting the opportunity, so to go out, Tell them to get on board. If you know that there's something that could help somebody in a spiritual way, of course a physical way, and that's obvious to us, but even for a spiritual way, not to impose anything on somebody, but to offer people opportunities to be able to connect to Hashem. That's, I think, a tikkun, a rectification of some of what was lacking in a big way in Parshas Noach. Mitzvah Hashem, we should be able to take that, to take achrayas, take responsibility for our fellow Jew, and we should be zochah to a great Yeshua, a great salvation very soon.